The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Welcome to another edition of GVN Talking Comics Interview, your home for conversations with some of the best writers, artists, and creators in comics. On today's show, we welcome the founders of Creative Extreme, Christopher Ikpo and Stefan Thomas, a diverse multimedia company that believes in imagination without limitation. Now here's your host, Martin Sexton.
Welcome to another edition of GVN Talking Comics. I am your host, Martin, and on today's show, we're entering the world of Creative Extreme, a diverse multimedia company that has carved out a space in indie comics that's kind of impossible to ignore. An entire universe built from the ground up with ambition, clear intention, and a diverse sense of identity, and quite frankly, an addictive energy. So who's better to guide us in that universe than the creative minds behind it all, founders Christopher Ikpo and Stefan Thomas. And we're going to dive into how they joined forces, built this universe, and what's coming next as Creative Extreme continues to expand across stories, mediums, and audiences. So let's get right into it and welcome Christopher Ikpo and Stefan Thomas to GVN Talking Comics. Thanks for joining us, guys. How are we doing today?
Great.
We're good.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
All right. Well, excellent. Okay, so before we get into the excitement that is Creative Extreme, and since this is our first opportunity to chat, I want to get into a little bit of your creative beginnings, and I'm going to start with you, Stefan. When did you first take an interest in comics, writing, and storytelling, and whose work maybe inspired you in that desire?
So I was a kid. I was probably, this is going to sound so crazy, but it was Transformers the movie, the animated one back from like 85. You know, I was a huge Transformers head. So when that movie came out, I saw it. I was immediately drawn in. Craziest thing, I had watched it so many times. We had it on tape. We taped it off the TV. Remember, you could put the VHS in and you hit record and play. You could tape it. So they played it for 5 weeks in a row, like on Sunday. It was playing on Sunday morning. So we taped it off the TV. I watched it so many times that I was able to sit down and transcribe the entire thing just from memory when I was like 12 years old. I got into collecting Marvel cards. I was collecting those Marvel cards before I was ever reading the comic books. So that's what was my introduction to comic books, was going to the store and buying those little packs of cards. Like, you know, Pokemon is huge today, but back in the day, it was Marvel and DC cards, you know? So that's kind of where I got my start. And then I fell in love with film writing. And then I started working on, went to school for screenwriting. And that also melded with my love for comics and sci-fi and fantasy, and, you know, hit the ground running and ran from there.
But okay, so same for you, Christopher. When did that creative bug bite you, and what books, movies, or creators led you to want to eventually pursue a creative endeavor?
Oh man. Well, growing up, one of the biggest forms of family time was movie night, right? Watching whatever it was we rented from Blockbuster or Family Video, whatever video store we were getting our VHSs from back then. I loved the X-Men animated series that came out back in the day. I mean, I was glued to the TV every Saturday morning. I'm running down the stairs. I'm getting in front of the TV, because I couldn't miss it. And back then, it was on Saturday morning. It was off 30 minutes later. There was no catch it on replay or, it's like you just missed it. So we were tuned in real heavy. The X-Men comic books, of course, growing up reading those. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, love Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And I remember I got my mom to buy me the graphic novel, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles graphic novel from way back in the day. And definitely not for a kid my age. I mean, the Foot Clan, the big spread with the Foot Clan standing over April O'Neil with her clothes kind of all shredded and the turtles fighting in the background. Like I shouldn't probably shouldn't have been reading that, but I mean that's what drew me in. And then just, staying in love with movies and whatnot over the years, that really was from a creative standpoint, my inspirations. And then when I got old enough to want to actually start doing my own writing, got into writing novels. Steph knows, and we might touch on this later, but I was writing a novel, started that in college. That took me into writing short stories, writing poetry, and writing just, random musings and things of that sort. And then it all kind of molded eventually into Project 365 and working with the Creative Extreme content. So, yeah.
All right. Okay. So now, as I kind of looked back into your history, you both have some diverse work backgrounds. Stefan writing for American Greetings, Christopher, you for JP Morgan Chase, because nothing screams creative multimedia and comic empire more than JP Morgan and American Greetings. But so when did you guys first meet, and how long did it take you to learn that you both had a passion for comics, entertainment, multimedia, and the world building that goes into it?
Well, we actually played basketball together in college. That's where we met. And Chris was the couple of years we played together, Chris was like the superstar of the team, and I was the third string point guard,
Steph can play. Don't let him fool you. Steph has game. He can play.
So that's where we first met and became friends there. Like I said, I was in school for creative work. Chris wasn't. I think you were doing a pre-law, right? And so, but we stayed in contact after we graduated. And then years later, like you said, I was working for American Greetings, writing greeting cards. And then I was also doing freelance book editing on the side. And so I was posting about that. Chris hits me up and says, "Hey, man, I'd love you to read my manuscript." I was like, "Oh, cool. Send it through. We'll work it." I was expecting to get, a novel, a novella, a short story, whatever. I opened up my email and there's this like 500 page, 200,000 word behemoth of, I was like, "What? When did you start? Like, I thought you were going to school for pre-law. What are you doing writing this massive world?" So then I said, "Hey, long story short, we kind of said, but maybe we can combine our creative powers and start doing this Project 365." That kind of led into Project 365, where it was like we want to release one character every day. I was like, "This guy has a lot of characters and a lot of juice for creating characters." So it was kind of this gimmicky thing. We're like, "Let's put out a character every day," and that really started helping us refine our storytelling even more. And yeah, we connected from there.
Right. Okay, so you mentioned Project 365, which I think was a very ambitious way to start. So what was the earliest seed of the concept, the idea of doing a new character for every day? And in the 10 years that's followed since you started in 2016 with that, what core idea still guides everything you do as far as with the Creative Extreme today?
We had I had been working in screenwriting and just pitching scripts, and I had a mentor who actually two people kind of like started it. had a mentor who said, I know you're writing this stuff that you want to get out to people eventually, but you need to be putting out things that people can consume on a smaller level, right? Just getting stuff on your website so that they can start reading it. And then I had another friend who was an artist who I met at American Greetings, and he started doing a doodling, every like drawing. He was like, I'm going to draw a picture every day of the year. What if you did that for characters? I said, oh, that's amazing. So then when I hooked up with Chris, like I said, he had that book that had so many characters in it. And that was where we came up with that idea of doing one character a day. I had a bunch of artist connections from American Greetings, because American Greetings actually employs quite a few graphic designers and artists. Then we just started going in onto Instagram and Twitter and different places and just sending DMs to artists and saying, hey, would you mind drawing one image of a character for us? And then as we began working with these artists, they were like, hey, if I can draw 10, I'll give you a deal. So we started commissioning them to do all these different pieces. And we ended up running into artists who had worked for some of the major companies that we love, Marvel and DC. And they were willing to do pieces of art for us because they love drawing the popular characters, but they were like, man, I rarely get to draw original characters. So I'd love to, you know, work with you guys on this. So that was kind of the impetus. And then Chris, you want to talk about what like that storytelling that keeps us, or that core of the idea that keeps us going?
Yeah. And interesting, just kind of piggyback off the artist thing, was interesting was the top tier or the higher tier artists, the guys who work for Marvel and DC, you know, their price was out of our budget at the time, right? So, you know, initially they're like, hey, this is how much I charge. And we're like, oh yeah, it's kind of pricey for us. And I, well, you know, I have less detailed, you know, artwork. It's a little bit less quality, but it'll still be, you know, good for what you guys are doing, and, you know, good enough to put on the internet and, you know, to post at different places. And we were like, okay, yeah, that fits within our budget range. And so, you know, those artists were giving us like their C-level work, right? The average stuff. When we would connect with the unknown artists, the up-and-coming artists, the really hungry ones who are still looking to prove themselves, they were giving us great deals, but they're giving us their A-plus work. So as the project rolls on throughout January, these Marvel artists, DC artists, who are seeing their C work being posted next to other unknown artists who are giving us their A-plus work, right? So they eventually came back to us, were like, hey, I know I said I was charging this much for like this level work, but I'm willing to, you know, bring my price down and give you, because they were seeing their work with their name attached to it, you know, paling in comparison to the lesser known or the unknowns. And so that's how we were able to get the top quality work from the Marvel and DC, you know, connected artists or whatever. So that was just it was kind of interesting to see how that developed. But to come back around, I know I was off on a tangent. Speaking of how we keep the story, you know, going and the creative juices flowing, Project 365 was really, like you said, it was really ambitious, but we had a system to it, right? Where we would sit down, have just an empty spreadsheet in front of us, and 8 hours later, we'll have it filled out. All the characters, their names, their origin stories, their power set, how they tie into the larger overarching story that takes place all year, right? Keep everything interconnected. We had to flesh out their origin story enough so they still had their own standalone world and their own story that we were telling. But it was very systematic, right? Project 365, and it had to be in order for us to get that amount of work done every single day throughout the whole year. Once Project 365 was over, we came to a point where like, okay, so what do we do now? Is it Project 365 part two? Do we do a whole nother year of this? Or do we want to go on to do something else? And it was twofold. One fold was, Steph and I always, you know, had the dream of not just building our own universe and telling great stories and creating all these characters. But I mean, again, we grew up on Marvel. We grew up on DC. We love it. So we wanted to be next. That's why we say we got next. We wanted to be the next Marvel and the next DC. And we know in order to do that, we would have to take our content and our universe and put it in different formats. So we got into doing the books, the anthology books, the graphic novel, different art book offers that we had. And then we also, the other fold was, we started doing screenplays. Transitioning the characters and the stories into screenplays, transitioning the characters and stories into teleplays for a series, whether it be streaming or, you know, network television or whatnot. And so we really just started grinding. and doing that. And Steph, again, I call Steph the abbot because he is like the Kung Fu master at the top of the mountain. I needed to carry the water buckets up to him to get the knowledge. He had to educate me on this. Because when I first started writing my first screenplay, I was doing it in Word. And he said, let me introduce you to something called Final Draft. And from there, my whole, you know, writing world changed. But we got into doing that. And then that's when, you know, a whole new just level of creativity started coming in, because now we're taking individual characters in their worlds, but we're expanding them. So we're creating more supporting characters. We're really fleshing out these unique worlds, and we're really diving into the emotional content within each story to really bring it to life. And then you start doing it this project, or this character, this story, and then Steph's over here doing this one, and we're bouncing ideas off of each other. And the next thing you know, we got four or five different projects that we're just volleying back and forth, trying to figure it out. And then we're taking feedback from the cons and the new fans and the new people we're meeting, and they're reading our stuff and they say, oh, we really love this character. And we're like, really? That was a kind of a throwaway character that we were just using for filler, but so many people said they loved it, they really liked it. Now we're picking that up and we're diving into that. So it's really been an ever-changing, evolving kind of landscape for us as far as where our creative directions have gone. But again, as you continue to refine, flesh out and build these individual worlds more, then you start getting as you build out your network as well, right, within the industry. Now you're getting feedback from executives, you're getting feedback from production companies, even studios that are saying, this is the IP that we like, work on this one. Well, when, you know, somebody says that at that level, everything kind of goes to the side, and then, you know, you focus on that one. So the method has changed, but that's kind of the transformation of our storytelling and how it's evolved into all the different projects that we have.
Okay, now, you know, you talked about how you were bouncing ideas against each other. So if you had to pinpoint it, how do your creative strengths complement each other? And are there any points where you kind of butt heads a little on an idea?
Well, Chris, I call Chris is like the artista, right? So we have this idea that Abbott and the artista, right? He's like, you know, so I would say that Chris, when I met Chris or when we started working creatively together, Chris was just kind of like this unbridled creativity. He had so many ideas, you know, he had so much stuff running around in his head. And so that really complimented me, because I'm just a little bit more regimented. I'm a little bit like, all right, you know, we got to make sure that all of the storyteller elements are right, in place and da-da-da-da-da, right? That's how I was trained. But then like taming his wild imagination, that was like, that was incredible, because it also pushed me to be more imaginative, right? So I think that's one of the ways we really complimented each other, where... Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, all right, I got like this regimen, so let me help him be a little bit more structured. And he was like, you know, helping me to be a little bit more, even push the envelope a little bit more. And so I think that's a really way that we definitely complement each other. And then, yeah, we definitely, you know, we're strong personalities, so we definitely butt heads, but we also have a place of trust within our relationship. So if it's like, hey, yeah, I don't like the way you're pushing the direction of the story, you know, we're not like super precious about it, where it's like, no, like you gotta, like, I mean, we feel strongly about things and we'll go back and forth, but we always are able to kind of work through that in a very sometimes intense, but definitely productive way, because we trust each other's storytelling instincts and we want to just put out the best stuff the best stuff possible. And in order to put out the best stuff possible, your stuff has to be able to be tested by fire. You know, you have to be able to take notes, take critique, you know, and take suggestions and ideas, you know? So creativity ends up being a very collaborative process for us, very collaborative process.
Yeah, an example of that I want to share, because it sticks in my mind. It's one of my favorite collaborative stories that I have with Steph. I was writing a screenplay, a horror screenplay, and a love letter to Bram Stoker's Dracula, if you will. That's one of my favorite movies. And so I was writing the screenplay, and I was going over, you know, I was going over it with Steph. And while I'm on the call, we're on the Zoom, and we're going through the screenplay, he's giving me notes. And so he's giving me notes, and I'm like, okay, da 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 da. And he's talking, he's explaining his reasoning behind the note and why he thinks it's important and everything. And when he gets done, I'm like, all right, here, done. How about this, right? And so then I tell him the changes that I made while he was talking and going over the notes. He's like, yeah, that's it. That's perfect, you know? But it, like Steph said, it was, I trust him so much that he's giving me these notes, and I'm almost like, if I get it right away, if it makes sense and I think it's great, I'm just gonna dive right into it. There isn't gonna be the, well, I don't know, I like my idea. And no, it's like, I'm getting in there, I'm changing, I'm gonna make it better. And we did it. And I think that sums up kind of just the collaborative aspect. When we're doing something like that, right, is if he's got an idea, I don't even need to be sold on it. Immediately I'm in, you know?
Yeah, same.
That's it. Well, as you were describing that, all I kept thinking is anytime I butt heads with my daughter, she gives me her famous exaggerated eye roll, like I don't know what I'm talking about.
No,
We're
no eye rolling over here though.
Yeah, we're also familiar with that. We both have daughters as well.
Okay, so now talking about, the business side of it itself, what do you think is the biggest misconception people have about running an independent comic universe?
I can say, well, for one, the cost. People for some reason think, oh, it doesn't cost anything to get a comic book made. It doesn't cost anything to get characters drawn. It doesn't cost anything to print books and go to cons. And it's like you think that you just pay for everything with your love of the game. That's not how it works. Like, we definitely know the cost of all of that and some more. Because I remember when we were getting started, Steph, had more experience than me, and I was asking him, like, hey, what about, getting some of this stuff animated? Like, what if you do like a short animation piece, And yeah, when Steph broke down the cost of the animation to me in the beginning, I was just like, I had no idea. No idea. So I think that's one of the biggest things is people don't realize this isn't something that you just decide to get into and you can just immediately turn it over. Now, if you were some kind of savant that is a world-class, artist that can draw and you also have story chops, I mean, you got it made. You could put out your own stuff, whenever you want to. But for us, neither Steph or I can draw worth a damn. So it's like we got the storytelling part, but the art part has to come in from being outsourced somewhere else. And luckily, like Steph said, we got great art, but that was I think the biggest thing. 'Cause people ask us all the time, how come you don't put more books? How come you haven't put out an animation short yet or done like an animated episode of your character? And it's like, you know how much that costs?
Yeah. And on the flip side of that, I think the other misconception is that you have to have like that you have to have a ton of resources just to get started. Like to get started, all you need is a blank sheet, And so we encourage people to, all right, maybe you can't do the whole shebang just yet, but what you can do is start putting your stuff on paper. And I think that's one of the misconceptions about like, yeah, running a creative business, it still always starts with just, one thing, one piece, one, and a lot of people are intimidated by the blank page. They're intimidated by, some of the tough discussions you may have to have. And I think that more people are open to listening to your creative ideas. I mean, you run a podcast. You know what it was like to kind of just like, hey, I'm just gonna dive in and start doing it, and how that evolves over time. And so we have encouraged a lot of, new artists or new writers or new young people when they come to see us at cons and they're like, oh my goodness, how did you guys do this? You say like, and like we tell them the one side of it's like, hey, if you want to go here, you're going to have to like make an investment. But at the same time, you can start here. And this is how you can do it at an affordable level for where you're at to start like putting stuff out there. I mean, having an Instagram page is free. If you want to put your work out there, just put it out there, right? Like if you having a Substack is free. If you want to write something, put it out there, like you can start doing that right now. So
Okay, so now, in preparation for our interview, I was looking over your website and it's got a whole lot of great content on it. Like I said, you haven't developed a loyal fan base. So what's the most effective way you've found so far is keeping connections with your fan base and your readers?
I mean, cons are always great.
Cons,
Yeah,
yeah.
cons are always great. Over the years, you know, especially when you frequent the same cons over and over again, having, you know, like, I almost hate to say a repeat customer, but having somebody come back to your exhibit and say, "What's new? Which book is new? I got to get the new book. Where is it?" Right? And they read the stuff and they ask you questions and you get to engage with them and talk about it. And, you know, you can even hear their thoughts and their feedback on it. It's always great to do it face to face and to meet people live and in person. So I always loved the cons and meeting people and that live engagement, interpersonal engagement part of it, because even if somebody is there to just try to impress, right, or just try to be nice, you can always sense if they're feeding you BS or if they're telling you the truth. Are they saying, "Oh, it was great," just because they're afraid to say, "Well, I think this part of the story could have been better," or are they, you know, going to come out and say, "You know, oh man, I hated it when you guys wrote this, or when this happened to this character," or, "You know, I wish you guys would have done this instead." And I love hearing that too, because that means that it resonated with them on some level. So the cons for me, I think, are a great way to
Yeah.
interact and get feedback from the
And I would
fans.
just pump back, I would just piggyback on that, where again, that's something where you can do it at a very affordable level also. You know, yes, of course, socials and social media, of course, is free. One of the biggest challenges with social media is that there's just so much, right? Like your stuff gets kind of lost in the deluge of stuff. And I'm not saying don't do it. Definitely put your stuff out there on social, like continue to connect with people who are reading on social. But these face-to-face meetings at cons, which of course they have the giant ones, and everybody, when they think Comic-Con, everybody thinks San Diego and they think New York. And it's like, those aren't the only cons. Not only are those aren't the only cons, but the smaller cons where you can like pay $50, $100 to get a table, those are those cons that have a lot of people coming to them that are looking for independent stuff. They're looking for, you know, if they want to get Marvel and DC, they can go to their comic book shop. They can go to, you know, the big cons. When they come to these small cons, they want to talk to you know? And so I encourage people, like if you have a book, if you have ink, like if you have art, like go to some local cons. Libraries do cons. There's a lot of local ones in your neighborhood, or in your city, or around your region. Those are great places to build connections and build fan bases. It happens incrementally, but it does happen.
Absolutely. And I totally agree with the cons. Of course, the Galaxy Con comes to Richmond, here to Richmond, and I basically go there just to talk to the creators, because they're all every one of them has been the nicest people. They'll sit there and talk to you. And I'm always surprised how many comic writers think want to be artists, because usually when they sign their name, they're drawing a little picture on there, which is was kind of fun. They all want to be artists. Okay, so I want to thank you guys for spending a little time with us, but I got two last questions for you. And I'm going to start with you, Christopher. If just as a hypothetical, if you could bring one dream collaborator into Creative Extreme Universe, writer, artist, filmmaker, anyone, who would it be and why?
Wow.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Take your
I mean,
time.
that list is really, really long. Whew. I'll go with the one that's coming to mind, and I know why it's coming to mind. I'm writing a teleplay, a series of teleplays. I'm writing a series that we're developing, and as inspiration, I've been watching the Castlevania animated series on Netflix. And when I'm not in front of a TV screen, I'm listening to the Castlevania Symphony of the Night soundtrack or score through Spotify while I'm writing to help keep me in the mind zone. And I know Adi Shankar was a big movement or big force behind getting that made and getting that developed and put on Netflix. And I love what he did with the Castlevania animated series. So if we could get him come in and hit us with that same magic for an animated series based on one of our IPs, and it would come out like the Castlevania Netflix series, Castlevania Nocturne Netflix series, I'd be over the moon, man. I mean, I'm all in. That's the first one that came to mind. Because obviously, again, the list is super long, but that's the one that's in front of mind right now.
Oh, excellent. Okay, so how about you, Stefan? You got a creative scenario that would excite you?
Just like Chris, so many, but I'm glad that Chris went first because I had actually had a chance to like kind of like look at my phone real quick. Ryan Coogler. Like if Ryan Coogler, if you're listening, Ryan Coogler, yeah, we'd love to have you. I mean, he's only
Do you
the
want to start your own Marvel or your own DC? You want to get
yeah.
in on Creative Extreme?
He's only one of the biggest, most popular directors on the planet right now, but it's okay. You know, he can come work with us too, you know? So, but yeah, loved what he did with Sinners, loved what he did with the Black Panther movies, loved what he did with Fruitvale Station. He's done a lot of, really, really cool
Creed.
stuff. Creed, yep, Creed. So, followed his work. So, yeah, if we could ever get Ryan Coogler to direct one of our characters or one of our stories, that would be a dream for me for sure.
For me
Nice, nice.
too. RC, come talk to us.
Yep, swing for the fences, guy. Okay, oh
Indeed.
yeah, you're right. Okay, so finally, my last thing here is that if you could guarantee that every new reader or maybe potential collaborator understood one thing about Creative Extreme before diving in, what would it be?
Well, one of our mottos, besides We Got Next, is imagination without limitation. If you're coming into our universe, expect to have an imaginative, wild, creative journey that you're going to be taking on. And again, we went into it not just wanting to do, day one, strong man, day two, fast man, day three, tall man, right? Like we really wanted to put effort and everything to developing these characters to life. And I think that's the thing I would want people to expect coming into the journey with us is we're swinging for the fences, like you said, Martin, and we're coming with, our best shot every single time. And so we want them to expect that, and that's because we want to deliver that.
Same, just about that's one of the reasons why we call ourselves the Creative Extreme. We want to try to push the envelope, right? Once that story is, once we have those pillars of good storytelling, now we want to start, how do we branch it out? How do we push the envelope a little? How do we be a little bit more creative? How do we take those, like I said, those pillars of storytelling, the foundations that have been laid by so many creatives in the past, for the last 100 years or so of comics and movies and all that stuff, and how do we take that, build on that foundation, and come up with something new and imaginative? So yes, we want people to know, hey, come imagine with us,
Excellent. Okay, well, I do want to thank you guys again for sharing a bit of your day, and I encourage all of our followers to check out Creative Extreme at www.thecreativeextreme.com. And we look forward to catching up with you again, possibly in the future.
Absolutely. Thank you so much
Yes.
for having
Thank
us,
you.
Martin.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
it.
Thank you for listening to this edition of GVN Talking Comics Interview, your home for conversations with some of the best writers, artists, and creators in comics. GVN Talking Comics is a production of Geek Vibes Nation.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.